fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today we present another in our continuing series of studies from the book of Proverbs. Our teacher today is Mr. Jesse Boyd, who until the time he went to be with his Lord, served as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 11. Where we're going to consider today the Proverbs contained in verses 22 to 31. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 22 to 31. Now, this 11th chapter is in the central portion of the book of Proverbs, and that begins back in chapter 10 and verse 1 and continues all the way to chapter 22 and verse 16, and they're labeled as the Proverbs of Solomon. And they are a collection of proverbs in the accepted sense of the term. They are pithy sayings which express wise rules of conduct, warnings, lessons drawn from experience, and moral reflections. For the most part, they are unconnected sentences without systematic order or logical sequence. However, they are remarkable for profound thought and acute observation expressed in an antithetical or illustrative form. The whole comprising a divine system of morals of universal application, a treasury of wisdom in all its diversified forms or details, both personal, domestic, social, and civil. And now in the passage for today, there are five proverbs beginning in verse 22. And the first one, found in verse 22, is a proverb regarding refinement. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman without discretion. Now, a jewel of gold was a nose ring made of gold. This was a common adornment for Oriental women. It was considered a means whereby the wearer was enhanced with more beauty. Now, it says here, a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, a fair woman which is without discretion. And so a jewel of gold in a swine's snout is out of place. You see, swine were considered the most unclean of animals in their habits. And to adorn a pig, a hog, a sow, with that which is supposed to adorn women is out of place. But just as that is out of place, it's out of place for a fair woman not to have discretion. Or a person who poses herself as fair, as beautiful, as attractive, without taste or refinement in life. So this is a proverb that regards refinement. The second proverb in this section is one that regards destiny. Verse 23, the desire of the righteous is only good. The expectation of the wicked is wrath. This may have two interpretations, and probably both are correct. That is to say that righteous people desire only that which is good, both for himself and for his neighbor, for those with whom he comes in contact, whereas the wicked seek wrath upon, particularly on their enemies and on those round about them. So those who are righteous desire that which is good and benevolent. Those who are wicked expect wrath to be poured out upon others. But this also may mean that the righteous desire, that is, what they desire in life, will be good, and that will come to them, whereas the wicked can only expect wrath upon them. And so this is a proverb which regards destiny. The righteous person who desires the good of his community, a good of those with whom he comes in contact, certainly will realize that in his own life. And the wicked who expect to pour out their wrath, their anger against others, will one day have wrath poured out upon them. The third proverb is the proverb that regards liberality in verses 24 to 27. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that waters shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn or grain, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Now, there are three statements here in these three verses of Scripture regarding liberality. The first is, there is that that scattereth and yet increaseth. If a person wants an increase of his seed, he must profusely plant in the field. In other words, he must sow thick to have a bountiful harvest. He must sow bountifully. So there is that scattereth and increaseth. But there is that withholdeth more than his meat. That is, there is that which hoardeth up when it should not be. It'll tend to poverty. And this proverb certainly is true. When a person does hoard up that which is more than meat, his life tends to poverty. Whereas, on the second place, the liberal soul shall be made fat. That is, the person who is generous with that which he has will receive blessing from God. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that is used for the refreshment of the lives of others shall have his own life refreshed. And then verse 26, he that withholdeth corn or grain, the people shall curse him. When people are in need and a person stores up or hoards up his own grain, those provisions that he needs, when others there are in need and he refuses to supply that need, then the people certainly will curse him. But they will bless the one who makes available the necessities of life to those who are in need. So here's a proverb that regards true liberality. And then in verses 28 to 30, we have a proverb that regards fruitfulness. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. It's quite obvious that these verses have to do with fruitfulness and fruit-bearing. The person who sets his trust in his riches ultimately will fall. Why? Riches are deceitful. It doesn't say a rich man's going to fall. The person who trusts his riches will fall. However, the righteous shall flourish as a branch. We're told in the first Psalm that the blessed man is like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. When Jacob blessed his sons, he said regarding Joseph that Joseph was a fruitful bough by a well. And the word well there has to do with an artesian well, not simply a cistern that catches water, not simply a well that has to be pumped, but an overflowing well. And certainly Joseph was, and his branches hung over the walls of his own household and provided blessing for the whole world. So the righteous are like that. They'll flourish like a branch that is planted by sufficient water supply that sinks its roots in the supply of divine refreshment, and then he brings forth fruit. On the other hand, the person who is not righteous, he brings trouble to his house, and he inherits the wind, and that means that which has no substance to it. And the fool is going to be the servant of the wise in heart. If he acts foolishly, ultimately he will become the slave to the person who is wise. But on the other hand, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. and he that winneth souls is wise. And here is a great text. Many times we confuse fruitfulness or fruit-bearing with soul-winning. They are not the same. However, they cannot be separated. People may win souls and not bear fruit, but no one can bear spiritual fruit and not win souls. So the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And in the New Testament, there are three kinds of fruit that believers are to bear. One is the fruit of light in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. We're to bear the fruit of light, shine in a dark place. In Philippians 1:11, we're to bear the fruits of righteousness, right doing in a day of wickedness and wrongdoing. And then, of course, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 24, we're to bear the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, or self-control. No law has been enacted against these clusters of fruit. Now, the fruit of the righteous, then, is a tree of life, a tree that is profuse with the fruit of light and the fruit of righteousness and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that kind of fruit-bearing believer who so uses his life as a testimony to the Lord and will influence those around about him so as he can present the gospel to those people and he wins those souls to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that person is wise. Now, the Scripture doesn't say so, but the person that doesn't win souls is otherwise, you know. Now, he that wins souls is wise. But it's the person who is bearing the kind of fruit that produces a tree of life that is able then to point sinners to the Savior. That is the truly wise person. So, here is a proverb regarding fruitfulness. And finally, in verse 31, a proverb regarding retribution. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. And what this simply means is, when God has to deal with the righteous in judgment, that is taking place now while the righteous is on the earth. Every believer is going to face the judgment seat of Christ for his service. But we're under the disciplinary hand of God today, and every true believer, when he falls into sin, finds the chastening hand of God upon him until he confesses that sin and turns from it, finds forgiveness and cleansing. And so it's today that the righteous are recompensed in the judgment of God upon them. But if that's true, then much more the wicked and the sinner. And of course, we read in 1 Peter 4:18, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Well, they're not going to appear in the congregation of the righteous, and they'll not be able to stand when they stand before God in judgment, because they'll be penalized for all eternity. And so, my dear friends, may God bless this reading of His wonderful Word and expounding of it to our hearts, and may we apply these principles to our lives, that we may be an honor to our blessed Savior.
You've been listening to another lesson in our continuing studies from the book of Proverbs on the Bible Institute of the Air. Today's study was by Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty of Bob Jones University. We trust that the timeless truths taught in these studies, recorded by Mr. Boyd during his earthly ministry, will help you in your daily walk with the Lord. Join us again next time for more helpful studies on the Bible Institute of the Air. This program is a production of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.